lack of a better first question, how the heck would you sum up what exactly we tried to digest for 6 hours yesterday?
Texas politicians, which traditionally have very colorful statements and varying motivations, got their licks in against Texas's president, while the other members of the Big 12 and the Big 12 commissioner were scrambling and asking for hope and help in front of the Texas government officials, while also taking some shots at Jay Hartzell, who was sitting in the room.
Yeah, so that's kind of where I want to start, Chris. So there was no – Jay Hartzell was speaking on behalf of the university and the athletic department yesterday, Chris Del Conte, nobody else involved. What did you think of the way Jay Hartzell presented himself yesterday? It seemed like he was there and took everybody's best shot and seemed as kind of poised and relaxed and as confident as he possibly could in that setting.
I mean, I think given the circumstances, he did all he could. He knew he was going to get shots fired at him. He knew he was going to face difficult questions. I think he knows that Texas did this in the dark and kind of secretly, and they were going to take some heat for that. And there were going to be a lot of upset people at him. And I think if you expand the lens outside of Austin, they're pretty justified in some of those complaints against Texas in a lot of ways. So he faced difficult question after difficult question. And I thought he was pretty calm about it. And I thought, as you said, he was pretty collected. We got details for the first time, really, about how this happened. Texas reached out to the SEC in the spring. And Jay Hartzell was very, very, very steadfast in his thoughts that Texas reached out to the SEC and not the other way around, because the other way around would be a breach of Big 12 bylaws, which Bob Bowlsby very loudly has accused Texas and Oklahoma of doing recently. We heard Jay Hartzell kind of discuss his reasons for Texas being a better fit for the SEC long term than the Big 12. It came down to money, as these things always do. And it also came down to security, kind of the Texas brand and college athletics moving forward in terms of Texas' placement in it. And we saw Jay Hartzell respond to some difficult questions across the board. So it was a really interesting about hour and a half for Jay Hartzell, I would say.
Chris Hummer, 24/7 Sports national college football writer. He also handles a lot of things on the transfer portal side of things for 24/7 Sports. Chris is on Twitter at Chris_Hummer. Chris, as Jay Hartzell was going down kind of the timeline and laying everything out, and look, a lot of this is played out publicly. We kind of know the nuts and bolts of it. As he's laying out Texas' quest to join the SEC, was there anything that really surprised you yesterday?
I don't think it's that surprising that Texas and Oklahoma were discussing the future in the Big 12 last fall, which is what they said originally. They weren't like talking about going to other schools or other conferences. They were talking about their future within the Big 12 last fall. What I did find interesting, and I think is pretty notable, is Jay Hartzell, when he was doing the math, and he is a former dean of the business school. He is a former professor of business. I'm not sure what specific class. He said when he was kind of doing his on napkin math about the future of the Big 12, he anticipated the revenues for the Big 12 in 2025 when they negotiated their new TV deal would remain flat or potentially get worse. So when you're talking about live sports rights, which is the most valuable commodity out there from a television and streaming perspective, the fact that he anticipated the Big 12 would not be able to increase their television revenue pot and thus increase their distribution to Big 12 schools, I think that was a huge deal and a pretty big red flag. And I think it speaks to the power of the SEC that the SEC under its new deal was able to essentially bring in an extra $20 million per school via their deal with ESPN. So that's a pretty significant sum. And if you think about it over the long term, $20 million turns into $100 million in 5 years. It turns into $200 million in 10 years. And the dominoes keep going from there. And that makes a significant difference in a school's ability to compete over the long term. So Texas might be the richest athletic department in the country, but if you're making $20 million a year less through via distribution than your peers from the SEC, you're going to put yourself in a difficult position. And I think Jay Hartzell saying that last night was pretty enlightening.
Chris, let's shift gears real quick and go to Bob Bowlsby. And look, for me, having followed this conference, and really you and I have both kind of grown up with this conference, I remember following the Southwest Conference in its 9 days, but for my formative years watching college football, it's been the Big 12. And now to see this league really on its last legs, you just kind of wonder where the future is. And I don't know that sending your biggest television partner a cease and desist letter and going scorched earth was the best measure Bob Bowlesby could have taken, but from what you've gathered, what he said publicly, what he said yesterday, what do you feel like the end game is for Bob Bowlesby? What does he want at the end of the day?
I think he wants his league to survive. That's what it comes down to. By losing Texas and Oklahoma, the Big 12 is kind of on the precipice of potentially losing its autonomy status within college athletics, which is a huge deal. With Texas and Oklahoma, were the tent poles of that league. They were the two top options, and them deciding to leave together for the SEC is a huge blow. So Bob Bowlesby, by making this outward push, is trying to create leverage, not only in the short term against Texas and Oklahoma to get the full exit fee for his league, but he's also trying to prevent other schools and other conferences from considering moving on from the Big 12 or poaching teams from the Big 12. His rhetoric is fully designed to make it as difficult legally for other conferences to kind of poach Big 12 schools. And he wants, through his rhetoric and through his conversations, for Big 12 members to stick together for the short term. Because if the Big 12 members, I will say this, if the Big 12 can make it through the next year and they stick together, they are in a decent position of strength, at least when you compare them to an American Athletic Conference. Just because from a pure numbers perspective, those eight schools in the Big 12 are still pulling in significantly more revenue than any member of the American Athletic Conference will. So that puts them in a position to strength long-term, potentially expand. But for that to happen, the Big 12 can't break apart over the next year. And I think Bob Bowlesby is doing what he can to prevent that.
Chris Hummer, 24/7 Sports national college football writer, also covers the transfer portal for 24/7 Sports, joining us here on Light the Tower on the Horn. Chris is on Twitter at Chris_Hummer. So, Chris, Bob Bowlesby, in your opinion, that vision is to keep the Big 12 alive, save the conference. How do you think that vision aligns with Kirby Hokut, the AD at Texas Tech, and those decision makers, or Mac Rhodes, the AD at Baylor, and the decision makers in Waco? Do you feel like the other eight are on board with Bob Bowlesby, or, you know, based on what you've heard and what you've gathered, do you feel like those eight are, yeah, we're saying we want to keep this league together, but really, you know, we need to look out for ourselves too?
I mean, I'm going to say this off the top. Everybody is looking out for themselves in this situation.
Right.
Like no matter their motivations and no matter where they fit in this puzzle, like everybody, if we learned anything from Texas and Oklahoma over the last 2 weeks, they are looking out for themselves. What that means for each individual school is different. A school like TCU, which has a really small alumni base, is better over the long term if it can stay in the Big 12 as a Power 5 league. Their chances of kind of joining another conference are less than maybe an Oklahoma State or a Texas Tech, large public universities with strong academic records and a lot of money to kind of throw into whatever league, and a lot of value, frankly. Texas Tech has a large alumni base. Like, they're not as large as Texas and Texas A&M, but they have a significant following in the West Texas region and kind of the Southeast in general, New Mexico and some of those bordering states. So Texas Tech brings value just the same way Oklahoma State brings value. And a TCU or Kansas State, I think, is another great example, has every motivation to keep the Big 12 together because they want to maintain their status as a Power 5 institution and all the benefits that come with it. I think it's a little more complicated, as you said, for a Texas Tech that, if put on the open market, might have some options. Like, frankly, like, Kirby Hokut is one of the more aggressive and forward-thinking athletic directors in the country. And if anybody thinks he's just kind of sitting on his hands waiting for the Big 12 to kind of save Texas Tech, you're wrong. Like, he is an athletic director, and there are several in this conference that are looking out for their best interests. And if they can find a softer landing spot elsewhere, they're going to take it. So it's really up to Bob Bowlesby and some of the really motivated athletic directors and presidents and chancellors in this league to do their best to keep things together. Because, as I said just a second ago, it only takes one domino for this whole thing to fall over. Like, the Big 12 is in a very tenuous position.
Chris, was there any point, and I was following, you know, Chip Brown was blogging it at Horns 24/7 and kind of giving us the play-by-play, and I was following Chip's post, I was following your tweets, it seemed like when the representative from Fort Worth was throwing some shots at Texas, that's kind of, it felt like that's when you kind of threw your hands up in the air. Was it at that point, or at what point did you realize, like, what the heck are we even doing here?
I mean, it was, like, frankly, like, it was good entertainment value all day. Like, some of the Texas senators are, like, my girlfriend works for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. She covers politics, so I see this world a little bit more often than I think most people in sports. Like, it is wild over there, and it was no different yesterday. But, yeah, like, I don't really know what yesterday accomplished. If anything, what it was a bunch of politicians were upset. They were left out of the decision-making process. The legislative session ended in May. They're in a special session right now, but the House doesn't have a quorum, so they can't meet. Anyway, that's a lot of legalese. Essentially, if Texas timed this to the point where they didn't have to worry about the legislator having a say in what was happening, because the legislator in Texas meets once for 6 months, once every 24 months. So they timed this to where it missed the legislator. Legislators were mad. They didn't have their say in this. A lot of those legislators are alumnuses of TCU, Texas Tech, whatever, Baylor, whatever school in the footprint that isn't Texas. And they just wanted to get their licks in, and they wanted to have on the record their complaints heard moving forward. So that's what it came down to. It came down to politicians being upset that they were left out of the decision-making process. And that's why we had the whole hearing.
Chris, I'll get you out of here on this, and I'll put you on the spot. What does your gut tell you on when all of this gets resolved, when Texas and Oklahoma get into the SEC, and when whatever the fate is for the remaining eight schools in the Big 12, when do you think the dust settles on all of this?
I think, as I said before, I think I'd be very surprised if Texas and Oklahoma weren't in the SEC by 2022, 2023 at the latest. Like, that's just the reality. Like, you're not going to live with your ex for another 4 years,
right?
Because your lease says so, right? Like, that's just not going to happen. So from that perspective, I think that'll happen in that timeline. And a lot of it's going to have to do with what the Big 12 is able to do and what it decides to do, because an impetus for Texas and Oklahoma leaving could be the Big 12 breaking up, which could easily happen if one or two schools leave. And then, like, you're not going to be able to function with just five or six Big 12 schools, you know?
Yeah.
So if that happens, like, I think it would happen in the next year or so, and that timeline would be that. And if the Big 12 holds strong, I think Texas and Oklahoma are likely going to be forced to pay that buyout. I just don't see things working like this for 4 years. It would just get too awkward and be too contentious.
Chris, I lied. One more for you before we let you go. You actually have had a couple of conversations, I know, over the last few months to year with Quinn Ewers, and he obviously, we heard about this. This was kind of coming down. We were wondering how it was going to work out, but he is enrolling at Ohio State, going to be with the Buckeyes for the 2021 season. What do you think the fallout is of this? Snoop and I talked about it on the air yesterday. We're like, look, the state of Texas has to kind of get their heads wrapped around this, that something in that name, image, and likeness law needs to change, because I don't think this is the last time this is going to happen. But what was your big takeaway from Quinn Ewers' announcement that, hey, he's going to enroll early at Ohio State and effectively take advantage of all the name, image, and likeness deals he has that are apparently on the table?
First, I think the idea is it's incredible what kind of earning power college athletes can have, even high school athletes like Quinn Ewers. Like, he will make close to $1 million very soon. And for a long time, we suppressed the market to the point where athletes could not take advantage of that. So I think that's a significant thing to note. I would say I don't expect this to become the norm in college or in high school athletics. Like, the amount of Quinn Ewers out there, the group of people who could do what he just did, not only skip a year, be talented enough to potentially compete right away, and to make all that money, is very small. I would say it's less than 0.1% of high school athletes out there every cycle. So I don't expect this to be a crazy, like, game-changing thing, but I do think Texas will have to change its NIL laws. Last night, in addition to all the other stuff, I spoke to the senator who wrote the initial Texas NIL bill, and he said potentially over the long term, they're going to have to reevaluate what that bill looks like and consideration for things like Quinn Ewers, but he did point out it will be a rare case. But I mean, I'm rambling a little bit. I would say, just from a person who lives in Texas and who loves Texas high school football, And I'm disappointed we won't have Quinn Ewers playing this year. And I hope it doesn't become a trend, because I also don't really think it's healthy for a player's development to skip an entire year of his high school career and those snaps just to go ahead and go to college and make money right away. So, yeah, that was a word salad of thoughts, but that's kind of what I had coming out of that.
Hey, I know you're a little fried right now, Chris. You got a lot of irons in the fire, a lot of stuff going on. We're just appreciative of the few minutes you could give us today on the show. You can get him on Twitter at Chris_Hummer, 24/7 Sports National College Football Writer, Transfer Portal Guru. Chris Hummer joining us here on the show. Chris, like I said, I know you're busy. I know you just got off of doing some video stuff. And, you know, I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago on the show. I didn't want to spoil your surprise, what you were working on at coaching school. But your story, I think it's a fascinating read. I believe it's pinned to the top of your Twitter account right now. You got to shadow Jeff Traylor, the UTSA head coach, for the weekend at coaching school. That was, I know for you, that was a busy time, but ended up being a pretty interesting read. So I would encourage everybody to go to your Twitter account at Chris_Hummer and take a look at that piece.
I appreciate that, and I encourage everybody to follow along with Orange 24/7 during all of this crazy realignment stuff. It's the best site out there, and I read y'all every